Anyway, you all can be turning to John 14, okay? How many of you would like to hear the voice of God more clearly in your lives? I would too. You know, in order for you to do that, you're going to have to build a confidence. That means actually a trusting relationship between you and your God. And that you will believe that He is who He says He is, and that He will do what He says He will do. Do you remember the story of David and Goliath? He could not have slain Goliath without having confidence in God. In fact, he couldn't have gone and slain the lion or the bear when they came and attacked his father's flock if he hadn't had confidence or an inner strength within him that God was who he said he was and that he would give him the courage to accomplish this stuff. Queen Esther could not have gone before the king, her husband, to save the nation of Israel from total annihilation if she hadn't had confidence in her God, a trusting relationship in her God. Daniel could not have made it out of the fiery furnace or even out of the lion's den without that trusting relationship that his God was who he said he was. And he would do what he said he would do. And Paul, how many shipwrecks did he go through? How many stonings did he go through? Bit by a poisonous snake. And then demanded to be seen by Caesar. How many of us would demand to be seen by a head of state, knowing that it was going to mean certain death for him, if he didn't have confidence, a personal, trusting relationship with his God, that he was who he said he was? The Old and New Testament are full of people, normal people like you and I, that developed a relationship with their God. They came to know and came to trust their living God. So how do you build confidence? By a personal relationship with Jesus and by activating the Holy Spirit in your life. By His leadership, and by learning to hear His voice. How can you learn to trust someone or have confidence in them without a personal relationship? Take, for instance, a best friend. Most of us have had a best friend growing up in high school, grade school, junior high. I know I did. My best friend, I met her when I was in the seventh grade when her family moved in from out of town. And we just clicked and started hanging out together. We went shopping together. We listened to music together. We stayed overnight at each other's houses. We went shopping together. We have her mom was really big into sewing and crocheting, and I love that sort of thing. So when I ran into problems with things, I'd go over there and she'd teach me and show me how to do certain stuff. Teresa would come over to my house and we would do things. We hung out together. We were together. Have you ever had a best friend like that where you're just close and you did everything together? I mean, sometimes you even bought the same outfits and dressed alike, you know? That's just how it was. I don't know, it might not be this way in school, but I know when I was growing up and in high school and stuff, that's how it was. You know, you were just close. Okay. It's the same way with our relationship with Jesus. He wants that same type of best friend relationship with you, where he has your back, where you know that he loves you and that he is going to do what he says he is. He wants that for us. Going back to my friend, I got born again 1 year. The following year, I took her brother, and her mother back to the crusade where I got born again at. They had another person in, and they all received the Lord. I mean, that's how it was with us. You know, we interacted like that. We've been friends for 40 years. And that's a long time. Like I said, that's how God wants our relationship with Him. That type of closeness. You know, even though we can't see them and look at Him face to face, He's still there with us. He wants that type of trusting relationship with us. This trust, and trust actually means firm confidence in the honesty, dependability, strength, or character of someone. This trust and confidence that we had developed between each other took several years. So it's the same way with your relationship with the Lord. Let's go back to the life of David. Okay? Here's David. He was the baby of the family. He had seven strapping big brothers. His father had a large sheep flock. As soon as David got old enough, his big brothers dumped the sheep, those smelly sheep, off on David. Okay, but David didn't see this as a hardship. He, you know, you're the little brother, you just go along, you be obedient, you do what you're told to do. But David went out there, he took care of those sheep as if they were his very own, and he started to develop a confidence in his God. It was just him and the sheep. So he's out there with himself and the Lord. He developed a very deep-seated, personal relationship with God. He was a musician. He developed, and he was very skillful on the harp. He developed a very anointed musical relationship with the Lord. He wrote most of the Psalms that are still used today in the synagogues. If you read Psalms, you'll see the notation of all of them that David wrote and when he wrote them. It's amazing. And just to read the words is something awesome. He meditated on the stories handed down throughout the generations about how God delivered Israel out of the hands of Pharaoh, the stories of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, all these stories and all these victories he had time to think about, contemplate, worship. He got to know his God very good, to the point that when he was 17 years old, the Lord went to Samuel, the prophet Samuel, and said, I have a man. His name is David, and he is a man after my own heart, and I want you to go and anoint him as king. At the age of 17, he had developed himself to this point of a relationship with his God after all these years of being out there in the flock. You know what? God has that same desire for each one of us. And you know what? It's attainable. That means it's not impossible to accomplish. That means we can accomplish it if we want to. He wants right down to the smallest detail of our lives. He wants us to have a deep, abiding confidence. Okay. John 14 through 16. I'm going to give you an overview of what's going on here. The context of these chapters is that Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross, and they have just finished what is known as the Last Supper. Jesus is explaining to them that he is going to have to go away, that his assignment, that his instructions for heaven have almost been accomplished. Now, these men have been following Jesus for 3.5 years. Everywhere they have been following him, getting instructions from him, his mouth to their ears on a daily basis. Very up close and personal. They could touch him. They could look him in the eye. They laughed together. Do you ever think about Jesus laughing and having fun? He did. You know, you have to have a relationship with these men that you've traveled with all this time. You know, they laughed. They ate together. They slept together in the same place or the same area. He He instructed them on a daily basis. He told them what to do, and he told them what they needed for the ministry, and he told them what they needed for their personal needs. This went on for 3.5 years, these instructions up close and personal. They had developed a relationship, would you not say? Okay. So he told them that he was leaving. After 3.5 years, if your best friend came to you and said, the man that you knew to be the Messiah came to you and said, okay, I'm leaving, wouldn't you just kind of like, oh my gosh, where are you going? You know, what are we going to do? You know, can we go with you? You know? And he tells them, no, you know, you can't go with me now, but you will be able to later. And they're going, well, what are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to go back to fishing? Are we supposed to go back to our normal job? Do we continue on with the ministry? I mean, all these questions are going through their minds. You know, they're wanting to know what's going on. And Jesus explains to them that he's going to send a comforter. And the comforter is the Holy Spirit. And he is not going to speak on his own authority. He is not going to be their Lord, but he is going to speak what he hears Jesus speak in heaven, and he's going to declare it to you here on earth. So let's go to John 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, or another word, his instructions. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, but it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells in you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And then let's drop down to verse 25. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. This is what the disciples were wanting to know. How are we going to know what to do? They were having a hard time wrapping their minds around the fact that he was leaving, and they wouldn't have that personal contact of him telling them what to do and how to do it and where to go and all this type of stuff. He wouldn't be face-to-face with them anymore. So he tells them, if you love me, keep my commandments or keep my instructions. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of truth. He is going to lead you, and he is going to guide you. He's not going to speak on his own authority. He's not going to be your Lord, but he's going to speak what he hears me speak, and he's going to speak it to you. The Holy Spirit is going to hear my instruction for you in heaven, and then he's going to speak them to you here on earth. He's really trying to get this across to them, you know, how this is going to happen. That is how you're now going to follow me. I'm not going to abandon you. I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm not going to leave you in this dark world all by yourself to have to fend for yourself. You're not going to have to do this on your own, trying to use your own understanding to get through in life. So as you can see, the disciples weren't concerned about following his sayings or his teaching. They've been with him for 3.5 years. They've been sitting in every single meeting for 3.5 years that Jesus held. Daily they were with him. They were immersed in his messages. What they wanted to know, I'm trying to get across to you, what they wanted to know, how are you going to lead me on a personal daily basis? I want to know what my next step is. So, he's trying to tell them how they're going to now hear his voice. Now listen, They were to continue following his teaching, just as we are to continue to follow the written word. But what he is talking about here and trying to get across to them is how he was going to start to lead them now. Okay? And the answer is by the Holy Spirit. Way back when I was in the eighth grade, some of you might think this is pretty silly, but I had this fear that I had flunked the seventh grade. And when I arrived that first day of school for the eighth grade, I was almost trying to hide myself in the crowd of students, and I mean, it wasn't a big class, there was only about 40 of us, that the principal wouldn't see me, because I had this fear that he was going to pull me out and tell me I had flunked and send me back to the seventh grade in front of all my friends. Our junior high classes were set up to where we had, they were split into two sections. The first section, Group A, were for the A and B students, the students that excelled. Group B were for the students that were C through E, the average to failing students. Well, I was in that second group, the average students. I wasn't failing, I was average. But see, I never saw myself as being smart or intelligent. To me, I had a very low self-confidence, very low self-esteem. I was not smart, because all my friends that I hung with were all in this other class. They were all A and B students. I mean, straight across the board, things came easy for them, and I was down over here. So, you know, that just, you know, I had this fear inside of me. Well, the thing about it is this fear will carry over into your spiritual life, and it carried over into my spiritual life. So, basically, it had paralyzed me. It was intimidation. And intimidation basically means to make afraid or to frighten. And that's where I was. For some reason, whatever it was in my life, that up until, you know, before I got to know the Lord, I was intimidated and fearful. The bottom line was the stronghold in my life was fear. So this stronghold carried right on over with my relationship with the Lord. So, basically, I had no trust in God. I had no confidence in Him, even though I loved Him, and I didn't realize this is what was going on. I didn't realize this is what was going on until just a little bit ago, until He started revealing things to me. That happens when you get to praying in tongues a lot, meditating the Word. He starts to show you things, you know, that you need to start correcting in your life. So all I could see was the inadequacies in me. And I would see these other people that moved in the gifts of the Spirit, and I would think that would never be for me because, you know, I'm just not good enough for God to use me that way. It's because of those strongholds of fear. And it's like, what if He tells me something and I miss it and it's wrong? You know, that thing clutched at me. Like, you know, just paralyzed me to being able to move and to learn to hear His voice. It can paralyze you. I don't know if any of you are having that problem or have had that problem, but for me it was a big issue. And so when I would get in things on the inside of me, I would usually blow them off or think it's just me. God doesn't care about my pets. He doesn't care about my day-to-day life. He doesn't care about these little non-spiritual things, you know, in your daily life. And so you tend to slough them off, you tend to let them pass by or ignore them. And so I thought I was going to hear His voice in this somehow super spiritual way, you know. You know, this sometimes this Charlton Heston thing, you know, from the Ten Commandments when God is speaking to Moses, you know. You know, we get these images in our mind and we think God's just going to come down and just poof. He's just going to do this for us, you know? Anyway, my thinking was screwed up. And if you're thinking like that, it's screwed up. It's not true, okay? It's not true. So, I had the Holy Spirit, but I was oblivious to His presence in my life. not understanding how he was truly supposed to operate in my life. Okay? And I have been, and it's sad to say, and I have been under the teaching of Pastor Dave Roberson and my husband for years now. But that doesn't matter if you have strongholds in your life that you don't take care of. Okay? Once you start to realize some things and start letting the Holy Spirit break those things off your life, you know, then you start advancing forward. But I'm just talking about me here. If you happen to relate, hey, you know, but I'm talking about me. So, I'm ashamed to say that I wasn't serious enough about my relationship. I let fear paralyze me, and I wasn't serious enough about it in actually learning, setting down, and on purpose trying to learn how to hear his voice for myself on the inside of me. I was trying to make it too difficult. You know, my head was in the way. I was like, well, how does that happen? You know, my head was in the way. So anyway, I had this shallow relationship with the Lord going on. I didn't realize it was shallow, but really it was shallow. I had this shallow relationship going on because I had no confidence or trust in him. And so how can you build this trust in a relationship? And it takes time to build trust. It takes time to build confidence. In fact, it's going to take your whole life to build this relationship with Jesus, because we are learning on a daily basis how to follow him and how to hear his voice more clearly. So are you beginning to understand that it's by the leadership of the Holy Spirit that we learn to hear his voice, and it's through his leadership that we will find out his call, and he will also direct our lives on a very real and very personal level if we will allow him to. So then how do we activate the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our lives? Now hang on to your seats, because I don't know if you can handle this, because it's really deep. It's by praying in tongues. When you pray in tongues and you determine to set aside time, you are activating his leadership in your life. And you are giving him the authority to teach you and lead you and guide you. Without that, he can't do anything. But you have to pray in tongues. Do not neglect this precious gift of the Holy Spirit. The body of Christ, including tongue-talking believers, if tongue-talking believers have neglected and have been oblivious to his presence in their lives. He voluntarily came from heaven with a job to do, and he is patiently waiting off to one side until we decide to allow him into our lives. He will wait there for as long as it takes till you say, okay, until we wake up or until we say, okay, I'm going to pray in tongues and I'm going to start to activate his leadership. Do you know what our number one assignment from heaven is once we get filled with the Holy Spirit? Our number one assignment is to pray in tongues. And it's to pray in tongues a lot. And you know what? Nobody else can do it for you. Nobody. You're the only one who can activate his leadership, and you're the only one that can allow him to take part in your life. Nobody can lay hands on you and pray for you for that to happen. You have to do it yourself. But if you will do your part and release him to do his part, he will take responsibility for directing your life and empowering your life and giving you instructions from heaven. Taking those things that he hears Jesus speaking in heaven concerning your life and then revealing them to you here on earth. Let's go over to John 16, verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, and he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. And then over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2, it says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries, or he speaks the mind of Christ for your life. We all have assignments from heaven that the Holy Spirit is trying to get across to us. But most of us aren't in a position to hear his voice. We pray in tongues 5 or 10 minutes and then want heaven to open up to tell us what to do. It doesn't work that way. We need to know what the word says, so that means we need to read it and meditate on it, because when you think you have heard the Holy Spirit tell you something, he will not go against the word of God. He never, ever, ever, ever goes against the word of God. So whatever he tells you to do is going to line up with the word. He might speak to your heart. Okay, I'll give you some examples. I'm just going to toss out there. He might speak to your heart to bake a cake for someone. Somebody might be going through just an emotional, horrible time, and he wants you to bake this cake and take it over to them and just be there in fellowship and show the love of God to them. You might blow it off thinking that's stupid. But you don't know. You know, a simple act like that. Minute detail of an everyday life. Ministering to somebody. How about he tells you to go fill up somebody's cupboard with groceries to overflowing? How about he might speak to somebody to say, I want you to go make that person's house payment for them this month. They're having a horribly, horribly, horribly time. And they're believing me with everything in them. I want you to go make their house payment. Like, get behind me, Satan. I didn't hear you. You know, how many would say that? He might alert you to something going on with one of your relatives or friends, that the enemy is going to try to take them out. And he wants you to go over to their house immediately. Might be 2 o'clock in the morning. He wakes you up and says, get over there right now. What if they're attempting suicide or something? He said, get up and go over there to their house. I mean, I don't know. What if he wakes you up in the middle of the night and tells you something like that? How about this? Stop hanging around with certain people you call friends. How about this? Stop dating somebody because they're not the right one for you. I want you to end that relationship right now. Cut it off. That's it. Would you think that's God? You know? How about maybe he's been instructing you to make a prayer schedule or a fasting schedule. Make a schedule for fasting. I thought you had to be led to that. No. You can make a schedule to fasting. You can do serious fasting for a month on end if you determine how bad you want to break some strongholds in your life. Doubt and unbelief. How about a schedule to read the Word and meditate the Word? Take the New Testament and say, he says, read each book 30 times and make a schedule how many chapters you need to read a day to get through each book in the New Testament in a 2-year period. How about that? I'm just tossing this stuff out. I mean, these are just all instructions. I mean, what if God's been, this has been flitting across your mind and you're thinking, just blow it off. Or how about to lose weight? You know? I don't know. Huh? Or how about to learn a second or a third language? Why do I need to do that? Well, I'm not going anywhere. How do you know you're not going anywhere? You know, you don't get in there and pray, and he's trying to do the beginning stages here for you to be obedient, one little step at a time. You know, some things may sound a little bizarre, like when Peter came to Jesus about the taxes, you know, and said, Lord, you know, we need money for taxes. And Jesus tells him to go fishing, you know, and he says, go get a line and a hook and toss your line in, then the first fish you catch, take the gold coin out of its mouth and go pay our taxes for you and me. Now, how bizarre is that? You know, you ask Jesus, you know, for money to go pay taxes, and he tells you to go fishing and tells you to get the money that way. I mean, you have to have a pretty sound, trusting relationship in God to obey something like that, wouldn't you? What if he tells you to get a shovel, go out on your property, go to a certain tree, and count out 20 paces to the north, then count out 10 paces to the west, and start digging and dig down 3 feet. And when you hit 3 feet, you hit a sack of gold that somebody, a pioneer or somebody, had buried 150 years ago, solid gold, for safekeeping that was totally forgotten about. But the Holy Spirit knew, and it was on your property. Bizarre, but what I'm trying to get across to you is, you're not going to obey stuff like that. You're not going to pay attention to his voice unless you have trained yourself to know his voice. I mean, really trained yourself, built a relationship with him to that point that when he tells you something that seems crazy and you know it's him, you'll obey no matter what. I mean, you know, some of us would think, if something like that came along, you'd blow it off and think you were watching too much Pirates of the Caribbean. You know, I've got to stop eating pizza and watching those movies, you know. At times, the instructions, you know, may not seem all that easy to accomplish. But if we will just obey the instructions, we don't realize how it will free us. And free him to move us to the next level. I would highly recommend you downloading Pastor Dave Roberson's teaching on distinguishing God's voice. Okay? Highly recommend it. It's an excellent teaching on learning how to locate the ear of your spirit and to learn, on purpose, train yourself to learn how to hear his voice within you. And I would strongly suggest that you listen to it about 100 times. I know Brother Charlie, back in the days of cassettes, actually wore out, I know, at least one set of this messages. Two or three? Okay. Do you know how long it takes to wear out a cassette tape? You have got to listen to that thing constantly. Okay, and he wore out two or three on this particular series because he was trying to train himself and learn how to hear his voice. You say, oh, I don't know how to use a computer.
I listen to it.
Yes, you didn't just have it, you listened to it. Yeah, you listened to it over and over.
I the dash for the sun to melt. Where is that? I listened.
Okay, gotcha. It didn't disintegrate because of environmental conditions. You wore it out from playing it so much. Okay. So, oh, I don't have a computer, so I can't do that. Well, maybe he's been dealing with you on how to use a computer. Oh my gosh. And you say, well, I don't have one. I think the libraries have computers, don't they? Okay. Well, I still don't know how to use it. They offer classes. Don't they have classes for learning how to use computers? Or they do have, isn't it, Dummies? What's that book, Dummies? Yeah, Word for Dummies or Computers for Dummies, things like that. Cute books that are easy to... understand books for people learning how to get through. You know what? If you're serious about things, you will do it.
Amen.
You'll learn how to do it some way, somehow. Take a class. Do whatever is necessary. I mean, these teachers, Brother Charlie, Pastor Dave, Gary Carpenter, I mean, they have all these messages on the web free of charge for you to learn how to do stuff so you don't have to go through what they went through. I mean, all this stuff is at your fingertips. It's just how bad you want it. And when I'm talking computer, I'm talking to myself too, because I'm not a techno geek. I don't really especially like computers, so I'm having to force myself to learn how to do a few things because I'd rather do other things. I'd rather sew instead of sit in front of a computer. That's just me. So I'm having to learn how to do these things, too. Don't think I'm just picking on you. I'm talking to me, too. Okay? So our whole goal should be to pray in tongues for thousands of hours, reading the Word and training ourselves to hear His voice, building a trust in Him, gaining confidence in our relationship with Him, and then being obedient to do what He tells us to do. Are we going to miss it? Are we going to make mistakes? Oh, yeah. We're in training. But that's how we learn to decipher between our voice, our own mental voice, His voice, or the voice of the enemy. That's how we learn. So, if you miss it, you repent and you move forward. Don't let it stop you or throw you backwards. Just repent and go forward. Okay? And don't beat yourself up over it. I've been there, too. I've beat myself horribly up over things. Just move forward. But we are going to hear correctly. And we are going to obey the instructions. And in those victories that we have, when we do that, we're going to build a confidence on the inside of us. A confidence in our God that He is who He says He is, and a confidence that He will do what He says He will do, and a confidence that we can do all things He wants us to do because He has overcome the world and has given us that same power through the Holy Spirit, through the gift of the Holy Spirit. So learn to know His voice. Start building a confidence in Him. Start building a confidence, a trusting relationship with your God.